But today we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Now, in the Gospel of John, especially at this point where John is writing, this is towards the very end of Jesus' ministry. Matter of fact, this is the night before he is crucified. He is having the Last Supper with his disciples. He has just washed their feet. Judas Iscariot has just decided he's going to go for a little walk and not tell anybody where he's going and go betray Jesus. Jesus goes in and starts building a foundation for his disciples in his very last words. He's given them some very powerful last instructions. He talks to them about, you know what, a further commandment, a new commandment that he wants them to have in John 13, that they love one another as he has loved them. Then when we have recorded in John 14, Jesus begins to go into a dialogue that many of us have heard before, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one can come unto the Father except through him. That he and the Father are one. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. From that, Jesus moves the discussion about the dialogue between him and his Father to the Holy Spirit, the one who is the comforter to come. And starts setting the tone for you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not abandoning you. There is going to be one who's going to come. He is going to guide you. He's going to fill you. All of that to build to what we're going to be looking at here today. In John 15, Jesus is going to start having this discussion about being abiding in him and him being the true vine and us being the branches. And we're going to jump into that. But when I look at this passage, and it's kind of neat being in a comic book store. I mean, I don't know how many of you ever grew up going to church in a comic book store. This is a first for me. And it's neat. I mean, just the imagination that some people have. Some it's a little scary. You're like, oh my. But there is some, just cartoons in general are neat. You get your chance for your imagination to get going. All kinds of things are a possibility. Now, I have to admit, having four kids, I still watch cartoons. Is there any other adults in here that are proud to or a little ashamed to admit they still watch little cartoons? Okay, I got one, a couple. Okay. And one of my favorite cartoons growing up, this is going to be weird, but the Disney cartoons, I used to love watching the ones, the really old ones with Donald Duck or just Goofy. Just the individual ones. Like, you watch Donald Duck, just you know what's going to happen. He's going to end up screaming and yelling and getting hurt and embarrassed. You know that's where the plot's going. There's nothing surprising, but yet it's entertaining. And then you have the Goofy cartoons. My favorite ones, the Goofy, were always where he was learning something. He's going to learn how to be a bodybuilder all of a sudden. He's going to learn how to downhill ski. Does anybody remember those? Okay, I got hands raised all across the building. But and you watch him just destroy himself, and that is what is hysterical. One of them is when Goofy learns how to dance, and he gets a box, he pulls out a record. Now, if you don't know what a record is, it's kind of like a CD. Those for you that are, I'm feeling old now. But he puts the record on, the instruction comes on, he gets these cutout feet and he lays them all over the place. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and he's going to learn how to dance. Just through stepping on these feet and the instruction that's given to him over the record. And so the music comes in and he starts, you know, he's doing his little 1, 2, 3 and he's moving all over the place. And in good Goofy fashion, he has a fan blowing for some reason and the window open. And the feet start just going all over the place. And you and I would stop, close the window, turn off the fan, get the feet and reorganize it. But he keeps moving with the music. And he's got his feet, and he's just going all over the place. And his feet are up on the wall. He's punching through pictures, going through the window. He's just going all over the place. And he's, at the end of the cartoon, he has destroyed his apartment. He has destroyed everything around him. And the record says, "And now you've learned how to dance." And how silly I look up here kind of doing this, and how hysterical he looks. Because he's not a dancer. He's just going through the motions. That's how silly a lot of us look when it to God, when it comes to just, hey, we're going to go through these motions and these behaviors of being a Christian. We jump through all these hoops. We do these Christian things. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to attend here. I'm going to go to this thing. I'm going to be at that thing. I'm going to go here, serve here, do this, do that. And at the end, we're exhausted. We're spent. And Jesus is looking at us going, I don't even know you. You're doing Christian things. But have you been transformed into being a follower of Christ? I can go through the motions of doing dance steps, but there is no way my wife is going to call me a dancer. I got some good little moves, but, you know, what I do is more wiggling. It's not dancing. I mean, if you watch, you know, any of the shows, like, wow, those people can move. They can hear the music. They can move with the music. I mean, they don't even have to think about where their feet are going. It is just natural. It's just instinct. And today, when we look at John 15, and I'm going to have you guys, we're going to read here in a second. Jesus is describing a relationship that we have with him. How many of you have heard that Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship? Anybody heard that? Anybody said that? Okay. Jesus today is going to be showing his disciples that when I leave you, I don't want you walking through a bunch of motions and setting up a bunch of programs and things to do. There's a way of following me that he's going to describe as abiding in him. So let's look here. John chapter 15. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV. If you have your Bible or your smartphone or whatever little app you have that has the scriptures on it, I encourage you to get that in front of you. If you don't have it, it's going to be up on the screen. But John 15, starting in verse 1 here, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And close here with verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now this whole section, this dialogue continues all the way down to verse 17. But for our sake today, we're going to be here in these first 12 verses. And even that, we're probably going to spend most of our time in verses 1 through 7. But Jesus is going into this dialogue of a relational connection that his disciples are supposed to have with him. And a lot of folks focus on two things in this passage. Jesus' declaration that I am the true vine and bearing fruit. We focus so much, especially on knowing Christ and then doing the Christ-like things, that we don't abide. Now, how many of you use the word abide on a regular basis? I mean, you just talk to your friends, how are you abiding today, man? Yeah, you abiding well? It's not an everyday term. I don't think I've ever said that except in a lesson. I don't think I've even seen it except in old literature, really old literature, and in the scriptures. Now, if you have a different translation, you may see the word there remain, which is an accurate translation. Because the Greek word here, meno, just M-E-N-O, it's a pretty common term. In the New Testament, it's used over 120 different times. And it's always used as how a person connects relationally with an object or some individuals around them. It's how do you connect to it? How do you relate to it? What is it's about being close to it or having some kind of, you know, basically a relationship. So Jesus here is saying, I want you to not hang out, not be semi-close to me, but I want you to abide. And so when he says, it's all the context gives us the meaning here. He's talking about a branch and a vine. You don't see branches hanging out near the vine. Like, hey, dude, what's up? Oh, I'm going to hang out here. I'm going to connect you for a couple hours, and then I'm going to go do my own thing. I mean, it would be weird to be in a vineyard and see branches just moving around. Just walking, and we're disconnected from the vine for a little while, but we'll be back. Don't worry. We're going to check in for a couple hours and then go do our own thing. the only way a branch can be alive, the only way a branch can have anything going on in it, is for it to be staying connected. To stay not only just connected, but to have the life-giving force of that vine moving through the branch. And it doesn't just get a little bit of it. Hey, I've got a little bit for the week. We're good. Kind of turn the tap off. It is always, constantly flowing into the branch. The branch never says, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to go do my own thing for a little bit. It can't. The second a branch stops being fully immersed, fully connected to the vine, it starts to die. It starts to wither up and cease being anything except for good firewood. That's a pretty powerful statement right there. That Jesus is making a description of our relationship with him. That this is not something you do casually. This is not something you do just for oh, you know, that sounds kind of good. I'm gonna go through the behaviors of that. I'm going to do that. I like the way some of these people live. I'm just going to check it out. Sadly, it's not. It's not. Christianity is not something we attend. It's something we are. I'm either alive or I'm not. And the proof that I'm alive is very powerful here, because Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. So we are connecting. We are dwelling in him. Think of a bath, if you would. I get a big old bath. I can step into it. I am in the bath, right? But I'm going to sit down here. I can fully submerge myself. Now I'm really in the bath. I'm fully submerged. I'm fully dwelling within this bath. I'm glad I didn't bring one up here. But do you see the difference? You can be in Christ, or you can be fully abiding in Christ. You can be, all right, I'm kind of here, but am I fully here? Am I fully submerged into him? Because the dialogue that is here is, I abide in him, and he abides in me. He is fully flowing in me and through me. He's dwelling in me. I'm standing not just in him, but I can't live without him. I can't escape being in his presence. For me to have anything in my life, I have to be fully immersed in Christ. That's exactly what he says. He says that in verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do a few things. Nothing. Nothing good comes out of me. I'll say that again because I need to hear it. There is nothing good in Brian but Christ. There is nothing good in me but Christ. So any good that comes out of me, anything that is, apart from Christ, selfish, self-centered, moving in my own way, moving in my own direction. My sin can just, I'm going to enjoy it. That is what I'm going to produce, because that is what I would abide in. What we abide in is what our fruit becomes. The fruit that comes out of us reveals what we abide in. If you are just an angry cuss all the time, you're bitter, you're judgmental, you're a gossip, you're struggling with lust, you're struggling with all kinds of things in this world and greed, you're struggling with purpose in life, you got to step back and go, what am I abiding in? Because that is the fruit that I'm producing. That is what is coming out of me naturally. If you're someone who uses relationships to accomplish things, then that is what you're abiding in. What comes out of us is the overflow of our heart. And what's in our heart? Is it Christ? Are we fully immersed in him? Is he fully immersed in us? This is not a suggestion. Jesus in verses 1 through 3 makes a declaration of this is a reality for you. I want you to see who I am. I am the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser. There's two types of branches. One that bears fruit, one that doesn't. And how the Father treats them. Verse 4, now he moves from a declaration of a reality to a command of our response to that reality. Abide in me. This is not, hey, I'm going to do this every once in a while. Or this might be good for you. You might want to try it. It's a command. His disciples, the only way they can produce fruit that the Father sees and goes, wow, those are disciples of my son. The only way that is possible is if we abide. If we are remaining deeply embedded in Christ. Attending church does not make me a follower of Jesus. Neither does sitting in McDonald's for an hour turn me into a chicken McNugget. I mean, you just sitting there taking up space doesn't transform you. There has to be a thorough cooking of me to become a chicken McNugget. And even then, I don't know if that would be good. But the transformation of me from being a selfish, self-centered, and all kinds of other terms I'd probably not say in your presence about myself, the only way that is possible for me to be transformed is not because I can do something to get there. Not because I can make these things happen, or I can go do Christian things or godly things. That's fruit. I can't produce fruit. I can have fake fruit. I can have bad fruit. But that's because I'm abiding in something else that is not real, that is fake. The only way I can produce the fruit of Jesus Christ is if he is in me. There's a lot going on in this passage. But if we miss the fact that Jesus mentions or commands that we abide 8 different times in this passage, then we're missing it. The relationship that we are supposed to have with Jesus Christ is not one that's bent on me doing things to make him happy. I can't get enough Scooby snacks. I can't get enough brownie points to make God happy with me. I can't get enough badges on my sash to say, look at all that I've accomplished for Jesus. Woohoo! Look, here's who I am. I'm a follower of God. Christ is making a very strong reminder for his disciples. I've washed you clean. You are my disciples. But abide in me. Don't abide in because when he says, I'm the true vine, the Hebrew people saw themselves as the vine of God. They saw themselves as an extension of God. They saw themselves, and so being a good Hebrew is something that, oh, that's just great. We are God's chosen people. We are what God wants. He's like, look, this is not about your nationality. This is not about your political party. This is not about how you vote and when you're going to vote. This is not about the things that you behave and you do. My disciples live and breathe me all day long. Now, I don't think this is, hey, grab your Bible and roll it up and carry it with you everywhere you go. It's fine, especially with smartphones, we can do that. But when Christ says in verse 7, I want you to abide in me, and my words abide in you, he's not talking about, okay, all right, carry this around, and, all right, oh, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save, all right, good, all right, move on. It's about his word being alive in you. It's about his word being, that it's transforming you. So that when I'm in the Word of God, I change. And it's revealed in how I live. The more I'm abiding in Christ, and his words are abiding in me, I change. You see, if his values are in me, and I am trusting in his truth, I'm trusting in his values, I'm trusting in what he has decreed, then guess what? My values change. Because in verse 7, he goes on to say, you know, ask what, you know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. and it'll be given to you. It'll be done for you. Now, a lot of us love that second part, right? It's like, yes, Jesus is like a genie in a bottle. You know, it's like, woohoo, rub this, and he's going to give me my three wishes. No. He's not saying he's going to give you whatever you want, because what I want is $1 million, a new car. I want some bling. I want things, you know, this is what I want. That's what my want to is. But I've got a broken want to. Jesus is teaching him, saying, guys, as you abide in me and my words abide in you, what you want is a reflection of what I want. My desires become your desires. My passions are your passions. My love is your love. How I see people as broken, as lost, as enslaved to sin, you see people that way. And what breaks my heart breaks your heart. How I have chosen to humble myself, take upon the appearance of man, to become a servant, humble myself even to the point of obedience unto death, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, that becomes our want to. That becomes our desire. Because if I force myself to do those things in my own strength, it is religion. It is guilt, because I can't measure up. I can't produce the things of Christ in my own strength. I cannot love sinful people the way that Christ does. I want to knock them out. Okay, my children are amazing. I love them with all my heart and I would die for them. But I have moments when I have to have the Holy Spirit flowing through me. Because otherwise, sin will want to flow through me. And it will not be good for them. Because their sin is flowing through them and I just want to respond to their sin. All right, I am going to whoop up on you. You better run. I'm taking my shoe off. But, you know, it happens. Thank goodness most of the time it's just a crock. But, you know, you can't hurt anybody with a crock. But what Christ is telling us here is saying, look, radical followers of Jesus Christ are not people who do a bunch of behavior modification to reveal that they are his. You cannot change your behavior enough to reveal that, hey, I'm a God follower. Because what actually comes out of you will still be sin, will still be darkness. I've been around plenty of people who say the name of Jesus and everything that comes out of them does not reveal him. I got guys, I work in sales and marketing. And I get a chance to interact with a lot of business owners, a lot of people who you know, basically just need our services. We help them grow their business. And when I interact with them, I'll hear people all the time, oh, so how'd you get in this? And I'll tell them a little story. You know, I've been in ministry and seminary, and God's kind of taken me in this little direction. This is where I've been for the last several years. And, oh, yeah, I go to church too. And they'll tell me the church they go to and this, that, and the other. And then they'll talk to me about their hot secretary or cuss or just, yeah, you know, I got this great deal. Actually, it's a steal. No, it sounds like you really stole it. And everything that comes out of them, you're like, wait, I thought you told me you go to church. I thought you told me you were a follower of Christ. I am. Oh, so you're a Sunday Christian. Got it. Okay. The rest of the week, there's nothing showing. You're a Christian in culture. You're a Christian in name. No. Because in verse 2 here, Jesus describes two branches. Look at this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. There's two types of branches. One that can be semi-tangibly around Jesus. I'm connected to him. There we go. Here he is. I'm sad. I got my religious card stamped. They can put that on, you know, on my tombstone. And then there are those who are producing fruit. And those that are not producing fruit, what does it say the Father does? He removes them. He removes them. So before I get into what the Father's role in this, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. He's making a declaration here about himself. Verse 5, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. But in verse 1, he makes a statement, I am the true vine. meaning there are false things that we can abide in. There are false vines that we can be connected to. False things that we can be trying to get life from. We can be trying to get meaning from, purpose from, medication from. I mean, within our own culture, we have foodaholics, shopaholics, workaholics, alcoholics, drug addicts, sexaholics, you name it. We got an aholic. We got, if it exists, we will find a way to get addicted to it. We will find a way for it to consume us. We got video gameaholics. I cannot figure that one out. My thumbs just blister. How would you do that all day long? But how do you get lost? That's not my issue. I got a whole bunch of other ones. You get lost in TV. We escape our reality through video games, TV, movies, all kinds of other things out there. We're constantly grabbing hold of something and saying, this is going to help me just get through the day. I just need to decompress for a little while in this. I just need to go do this. I just need to have some of this. I'm sorry, part of a problem in our culture, why obesity is so huge, we get huge, is because we're escaping God. And we're making ourselves feel better with food. The reason why we can drive anywhere on any street and find food readily available, because we want to consume and consume and consume the emptiness that we have inside. It's not just about the convenience of, hey, I don't want to cook today. I want to eat and eat and eat. It's the reason why pornography is so massive and widespread, and it makes more money than all the major cable TV networks combined. All the sports networks, all the sports teams in NHL, NFL, you know, major, any of the major leagues makes more money in pornography than any of those combined, is because we want to escape the reality in which we're in. Hey, that looks attractive. That looks nice. I'm going to go. It becomes very addictive. We are escaping Christ. Christ is saying, I am the truth. I am the way. I am life. You do not find life anywhere else but in me. If I am true, then everything else is false. If I am life, then that is death. If I am light, that is darkness. If I am freedom, that is slavery. If I am the living bread, I am the living water, then this is poison. And we are so quick to abide in those things, to dwell in those things, to consume those things. Is there anything wrong with food? No. Is there anything wrong with having a beer? No. Is there anything wrong with shopping or us working and taking care of ourselves? No. But see, our tendency is to avoid the true vine. Our tendency is to abide in anything else and to give it the power that is supposed to be coming from Christ. Our desire is to do anything but to live and breathe Him. We're worrywarts. We like the drama of other people. I don't understand. I don't like my own drama. And then I'm going to go watch and be entertained with someone else's drama. That is just sick. That's just, oh look, they're more messed up than I am. Awesome. Let's watch hours of that. And as sad as we are entertained with the things that Jesus Christ died for, we enjoy the passions of the things that Jesus Christ came to set us free from. We consume and throw huge amounts of money at these vices and at these things. Oh, if I just get this career, or if I just do these things, or I just accomplish this stuff with my life, I went here and got this education, this is who I'm supposed to be now. That's not what Christ said. Live and breathe me. And then as He is the true vine and that's what we abide in, then the Father comes along and He's the vine dresser. You notice what He does. He prunes the branches that are abiding in Him. Now, pruning is basically taking away the things that are not healthy. He removes the sin from us. It's not about us getting ourselves clean. It's about us abiding in Christ and saying, here I am, Father. Remove. Take out. It's scary. It's not pleasant. I'm not sure that a branch is sitting there going, oh, that's enjoyable. You just ripped that out of me. you just cut that out of me. But what? Why does he do that? So that they will produce much fruit, large harvests of fruit. Because the natural desire of a branch on a vine is to grow down. It's called gravity. To grow down, and what's down? Dirt, mud, weeds, bugs, sickness, destruction. The natural tendency for a branch coming out of a vine is to go straight down, spread out, and get wild. To grow along the ground, to move. And if you've ever seen any vines on the ground, they just start going, they connect to other things, they get wound up and stuff. They climb up onto other branches and other plants that are around them, get choked out, get all just entangled, and get infested. I know this because my neighbor has vines growing through my fence. And it's like, hey, and my weed whacker, you know. And I'm not doing that so that they will produce much fruit. I'm doing that to keep it out of my yard. But God the Father says, in my garden, my branches, my vine, my garden is going to be healthy. And so he takes them. He binds them up so that they are together. And then he props them up so they are off the ground, so they will have a natural way of producing their crop. That the vines that are coming out, the fruit is not polluted. It's not infested. It's beautiful. Why? Because the branches are abiding in the vine. The branches, there's nothing magnificent about them. It's all about the vine and the fruit that they produce. The fruit is the overflow of the vine. So many times, this will be a little self-revealing here. As I've been in ministry, I want accolades. Hey, here I am. Check me out. I want to be in charge of something. I want to do this. I want people to see me. I want people to like me, respect me. I'm hoping that after this, you will all come up and say, good job. That's serious. Because I want something good. Look at my fruit. Guys, the only reason I can even talk about this is Christ is in me. The only reason I can talk, because he has healed me. He has worked in me. He has transformed me. And there is still stuff. And I'm like, okay, time out, Father. A little too much pruning going on. Can we slow that down just a little? I'm really tired of dealing with my brokenness and my sin. Brian, I love you. I love you so much. I'm not going to leave you this way. I'm going to remove these things from you. I'm going to take this out of you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. Not for your glory, but for the glory of my Son. How beautiful this relationship looks. God does not leave us to our own wildness. His desire is that we magnify the glory of the Son. Binds us together. He prunes us. The issue today for me when I am giving this lesson is not to talk about the fruit. Because if our attention and our focus is on producing the fruit, we will not focus on abiding. You cannot produce the fruit. Christ produces it through you. If you're trying to strong arm your way into being a godly person, doing a bunch of godly things to make God happy with you, or to have meaning in life is found through doing God's stuff around you, you're abiding in religion. Man-made ideas to make God happy. This is not about what we can accomplish. It's about what he accomplishes in us and through us. And if you're sitting here and you're going, and God's like, okay, here's some stuff I want to remove in you, that's awesome. Because in the book of Hebrews, the author there tells us that God disciplines those who he loves. If God is not revealing to you things that he wants to remove in you, time for a heart check. What are you abiding in? If God is not putting things in front of you to say, you know, hey, this is the direction I want you to head. You want to go in this way, but I'm going to steer you. I'm going to bend you. I'm going to move you in this way. And you're resisting where God is wanting to take you. time for you to do a heart check. What are you abiding in? I want to go this way in my life. Yeah, I sent you to that school. You're getting those degrees. That is great. But I didn't do that so you would be wealthy, healthy, and pretty. The reason I sent you there, the reason I'm moving you there is because I want you to produce my fruit where you are and where I'm taking you. Every day we have the opportunity to encounter Jesus Christ in our lives. Every day we have the opportunity to live and breathe the gospel of Jesus Christ right now. And as the Father is pruning us, as the Father is binding us and keeping us up and steering the direction in which we are to be healthy, where you are right now is an opportunity to manifest the glory of Jesus Christ. The relationships you know, where you live, where you go to school, where you work, that is where Christ has you right now. Don't buck against it. Don't see it as a waste of time. Don't see it as, I got great dreams for then, and miss the opportunity to encounter and produce the fruit of Jesus Christ right now. How many times I know in my own life I have missed where God has me. My wife is so sweet to remind me of this every time we go on a vacation. That vacation starts as we're packing the bags and getting in the car and driving. My tendency is vacation starts when I get there. Then I'll enjoy myself. Then I'll have a good time. That's where the good time is. But I'll be a miserable cuss the whole way. This traffic is, and get out of my way. And how do we get all this stuff in the car? And we have 4 kids. It's a lot of stuff. And I miss and sometimes ruin the journey because I'm all about getting there and not where God has me right now. What are you abiding in? Is it the true vine or is it false? Are you resisting the Father's discipline, his pruning, so that you may produce more of his fruit? Or do you have things that you have crept and gone wild in, and you're abiding in falsehood? Lies you've told yourself, things that have been done unto you, things you've done to yourself. We've all got our baggage. Question is, are we going to give it to the Lord? Are we going to hold on to it? I want to pray for us here. I'm just going to move on and continue in worship. What we do here is we focus on God's word and respond to it in worship. The songs we sing, when we go take the Lord's Supper, when we give our tithes and offerings, this is a response to the truth and the reality of who Jesus Christ is in his word. He saved us not by our own works, but by grace. And what we do when we take communion is this is a remembrance of his sacrifice for us. Because we could not get ourselves there. We could not. If I can't save myself, then how can I produce anything good for God? It's Christ. And we remember and we honor that he died on the cross, that he bled for us, so that the penalty of our sins would be taken away. He saves us. He changes us. Let him lead you. Abide in him. So I'm going to pray and I encourage you guys to reflect on who Christ is in your life. If you don't know him, I'll be in the back. You want to come talk to me? Scott, I'm sure, will be up for that. If you've got stuff that's heavy on your heart and you want to talk about it, I can't save you. I can't heal you, but I can pray for you. I can guide you to the one who can. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, how silly we look trying to go through this dance of life and not being transformed into your dancers. How silly we are to think that we can live disconnected from you. And Lord, right now, as we move forward in our time of worship, as we take communion, in the Lord's Supper, Lord, we pray that the things that are in us that are keeping us from producing your fruit, Lord, we confess them unto you, that you will remove them. And Lord, may we be willing to abide every day, living and breathing you, living in your word, valuing what you value, trusting in you. Jesus, you are a great and mighty Savior. We thank you for your sacrifice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.